It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
Italian food has always been about socializing. For my guest Tim White, this local connoisseur, authored a recipe book last year, which is available as a hard copy and digitally, and he's back on the show to talk about holiday cooking. Sure, we'll ask him about his recent Thanksgiving meal prep and new barbecue, but we'll also be talking about the Christmas season, and I especially want to get into some tips that might help students prepare holiday meals on a budget, especially if some of those students are ones who wouldn't normally entertain, and I want to do so on a shoestring, perhaps. And Tim also has a new recipe book in the works, so we'll get the scoop on that as well. And let's get to it. Tim White, welcome back to You Talking to Me.
Thanks, JD. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's great to have you back on again. For a little recap, maybe tell us a little bit about life as a kid. Dinner at your grandmother's. I understand the family was so big, you guys ate at a ping pong table.
Well, on Sundays we used to go to my grandmother's for dinner, and it wasn't just our family; it was everybody in the family that would come out. My brothers, my uncles, my aunts, my sister. At any time, we could have up to 20 people over, and we'd go down in the basement because that was the biggest room available. Ping pong table there. We'd throw tablecloths over it, and we'd have a great time just passing all the nice hot dishes around and socializing all day long.
You just recently celebrated Thanksgiving, I guess, at your mom's condo. How was that? I know there were lots of you there.
Over the years, our family, of course, has gotten smaller. There was 10 adults and 4 children, so it was a little bit of a challenge. My mom has a condo now instead of a huge house with a great big basement. So we set up 3 tables across the center of the condo, and we took turns going up to the tiny little kitchen area and made it like a buffet. Nobody complains about, you have to get up so I can get by to get this or that. We just enjoyed everybody's company, and we had a great meal.
Yeah, I bet you did. When did you get into cooking so much that it became a challenge to master so many dishes? What was your inspiration behind that?
Well, that would have to be my wife. Before I got married...
Who's here with us in the studio, by the way? Hi, Marianne.
Hello.
Yeah, before I got married... my meals basically were either steak, chicken, or hamburgers and hot dogs, and that was it. I barbecued everything. I didn't cook any vegetables. I didn't make any desserts, nothing. I would just grab a quick bite and off I'd go. So when I got married, or just before I got married, and she said, no, we need vegetables and salads, and she really challenged me to start making different things. And it's taken off from there.
I want to ask you, too, breakfast, lunch, or dinner, what do you prefer to prepare, or your favorite mealtime to entertain guests?
Oh, definitely dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to make up a nice big meal, complete with appetizers and desserts and a nice big entree. Or something that'll last for a couple hours so that you can have time to enjoy everybody's company.
And what would you say has been your most challenging meal preparation? Is there something in particular that was like really tough to make?
Maybe not so much tough to make. It's just tough to bring everything together at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like when we have our family dinner at our house, we'll have 16 people or so for a barbecue, but I'll also do things in the oven. And trying to coordinate the timing of when everything's going to be ready, it can be challenging because we have a small kitchen with a small oven, and I have a huge barbecue, but we can't do everything on that. So it's worked out well, though. I get a lot of help from my wife and from everybody that comes over.
And do you cook ethnically as well? Do you try different ethnic dishes?
You know, being Italian, and since my mom was such a great Italian cook, I really don't cook a lot of Italian food. I will make spaghetti sauce, which will take all day, and it simmers on the stove for all day, and I'll try and make it like my mom does, but it never comes out the same. I still think she didn't tell me everything that goes in it. And then...
Secret.
Yeah. We'll cook Asian food. Like, I love sticky fried rice and different dishes that calls for different type of flavors, like with soy sauce and teriyaki and all different things mixed together. Even a peanut butter satay that my wife is the only one I know that doesn't like it.
Do you put jam in that or anything?
No, I do not.
It's not a kid's school lunch show. And how do you feel about changing foods to adapt them to be healthier, you know, like less salt, less sugar, things like that? I would imagine that a lot of people that are really into cooking don't like to change, you know what I mean?
You know, my wife bought me a cookbook that was a low-calorie cookbook, and she wanted me to make spinach pie, and I love spinach pie. Mm-hmm. So I looked at the cookbook, and I looked at the recipe, and I thought, well, yeah, I can make that. I just got to make a few changes. And instead of using cottage cheese, I used feta. And instead of using oil, I used melted butter. So I kind of went the opposite way there. And she's telling us, oh, my God, that was such a good spinach pie. And she gave the recipe to her girlfriend. Well, when she made it, it wasn't quite the same.
Okay.
So I had to explain to her that, no, I went the other way. But she has been challenging me to make more salads, and we use more chicken, and I make my own salad dressings. That's the biggest thing. Like, you get these salad dressings, first of all, they don't last long in the fridge, whereas now if you make your own, you can just have a little bit.
Well, don't they put enough preservatives and things in the...
Yeah. We even make our own vinegar, own wine vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll use red wine vinegar, a little bit of oil, and just lemon juice and oregano for a Greek salad. For strawberry and mango salad, we'll make it a little sweeter, just add a little bit of sugar, but just like a teaspoon. Like, most recipes will call for like 2 tablespoons of sugar,
mm-hmm.
and you don't need that. I mean, I like it, but you don't need it.
On the other side of that, kind of changing things up to create something new, yeah. I'm sure you're kind of all for that.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I mean, I'll look at a recipe and see, well, what can I do with that? And how would my wife like it? And how would our friends like it? Because we entertain a lot.
Mm-hmm. Do you only entertain so that you can test out use everybody as subjects? Or no, I'm just kidding.
I do use them as guinea pigs.
You know? Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's passed out or you haven't lost anybody due to, no.
Well, we almost burned the kitchen down once, but that's about it.
That's another story, I guess. Maybe. We'll get into holiday meal prep a little later in the show and offer some tips for students who may be preparing holiday meals this year and talk a little bit about traditional Christmas dinner and more. But tell us a little of your current recipe book, the one that you have out now. Give us a title of it, because the title's kind of unique itself, too. So.
Well, the title is Would You Trust a Skinny Cook? Which kind of upset my mom, I think, because she's a tiny lady, you know, but... I mean, if you look at it, you look at me, I'm quite a large person, and I like to cook, and it shows, you know.
You have an emphasis on easier recipes as well in the book, is that...
Yeah, I mean, most of my friends that I gave recipes to, they want something fast, quick, easy. When they get home, they don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, taking 2 hours to make a meal, mm-hmm. especially for the kids, you know, and we like to make everything kid-friendly and... some of the recipes that kids can make themselves. And when they can help out, they're going to eat. You know, like we make a taco soup, which only has 3 ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
Just 2-to-1 chicken broth with salsa and a can of kidney.
2-to-1, that's where I get lost right there.
Yeah,
no, I'm just kidding.
Twice as much.
So yeah, the taco soup. And tell me a little bit about this grilled watermelon.
Well, that was an experiment. When we went to Rochester, New York, they have a place there that sells all types of olive oil and balsamic vinegars. And I bought a chocolate balsamic vinegar. And the girl there said, well, what would you use it on? Because it's one of our biggest sellers, and we don't even know what we use it on. And I said, well, if I think of something, I'll let you know. And when I went home, I thought, well, that would be really good on fruit. So I took a big piece of watermelon, put a little oil on both sides, salt and pepper, threw it on a screaming hot barbecue. Then I covered it with goat cheese, and it starts to get creamy, and I put a little bed of greens on top of it, mixed greens, and then drizzled this chocolate balsamic vinegar and oil on it. I used rice vinegar on my wife's because she's not a big fan of chocolate, which is really crazy, but it turned out really good. And from there, we thought, wow. I sent it in to a unique recipe contest. And
oh, wow.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
did really well with that, too.
It's great that some of these recipes will please all ages. So let me ask you a little bit about a couple of these things. No fried ice cream?
Yeah, the no-fried ice cream is pretty simple. It's just crushed up cornflakes, some cinnamon, some melted butter. You toast that in the oven on a baking sheet and then just break it all up and let it cool. And then take a ball of ice cream, roll it into these crumbs, mm-hmm. and put it in the freezer. And then when people come over, set it into a nice martini glass, cover it with chocolate sauce or caramel sauce or anything you want.
Sounds pretty good. And how about the pizza kebabs? What's a pizza kebab?
A friend of mine came over with her daughter. She was 7 years old at the time, and they were coming over for a swim. And I says, "What do you like to eat?" And she says, "Oh, I like vegetables." I says, "Really?" And it was odd to hear a young girl say that, you know, she likes to eat, you know, peppers and stuff like that. So I have a big garden in my backyard. We went and picked some peppers, some red and green peppers, took some mushrooms, and we had pepperoni, and we put them all on a skewer. Anything you would put on a pizza, we just put on a skewer, a nice wooden skewer. We put it on the barbecue, threw a little pizza sauce on it.
I was just going to ask you what you did with the pizza sauce.
And then we just topped it with some Parmesan cheese, closed it up, and then we put it in a pita.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out fantastic.
And I know when you were last on the show, your current recipe book was available around the city a little, and we just want to let listeners know that to keep an eye out, maybe search occasionally online for the book, Would You Trust a Skinny Cook? Because you're in the process of being able to have this available digitally,
right,
as well as probably... Still, you know, offering hard copies, yeah. We'll make mention of that again later, because definitely some people probably want to check that out. How about your new book? Do you have a title yet for it, and how might it differ from the other?
You know, I think it's
or an extension.
Basically an extension of the same. The first one went over so well. People are looking for new and improved recipes. Again, they like the quickness about it. They like the flavors. They like the variety. And again, if it's easy, they're going to make it. And we're putting in more different things for the children and that. So
mm-hmm.
Even making watermelon baskets, you know, we can just, if you want to get a kid to eat fruit, cut a watermelon to look like a shark, hollow it out and fill it with fruit, and they'll reach in and they'll go nuts on it.
That sounds pretty outstanding. Is there any new cooking gear that you might have picked up lately? We'll get into the barbecue later, because that's a big...
Yeah, the barbecue is huge.
But is there any small gadgets or anything that you think somebody might benefit from or something?
Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty lucky. My wife
This is not an infomercial. So.
No, my wife works at Sears, though, so she's in Bridal Registry,
mm-hmm.
which gets to see all the kitchen gadgets.
Okay, yeah, sure.
So I'm going to visit a lot more when she's at work. I've got an olive pitter, which is just amazing. A lot of recipes call for chopped olives, and I hate taking the pits out, so I just fire this thing in, and it looks like a hole puncher. Pop an olive in, it just pops the pit right out.
Okay.
And you can use it on cherries or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And for Christmas, she bought me a crepe maker. Now, to make crepes, the old-fashioned way, put it in the frying pan, and you got to be really careful with it.
Right.
And I looked at this crepe maker, and I'm thinking, I'm not going to use that. Well, Christmas morning, I used it. And all it is you just dip it in the batter, flip it over, and in less than a minute, you've got a crepe. It's fantastic.
We're going to come back with some more talk about this crazy barbecue. This thing's no little hibachi, that's for sure. And we'll talk about that when we come right back. Don't touch your dial.
If you have an interesting career or an interesting life experience that you'd like to share with others, you can contact me, Big JD, at the You Talking To Me website, youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking the number two, me, youtalkingtome.ca.
All right, we're back. I'm talking to recipe book author Tim White, former guest as well.
Yeah.
It's always fun to talk to you. And this show is going to be a little special, because we'll be talking about some holiday cooking, especially for students, you know, help you save a little bit of money and maybe entertain. Students probably don't usually entertain their families, maybe. We might offer some easy tips that they'll be able to use to do that. I want to ask you about blending. Use a blender much? How important is a blender? And I would think like a blender, and also like a crock pot that I want to get into with you a little bit about. A blender would be something that's kind of useful for students.
We have a couple different blenders. One we use every morning, and we do fruit smoothies in the morning. If you're in a hurry, just throw a banana and some orange juice, strawberries, and out the door you go.
Mm-hmm.
But it also crushes ice. You can make hummus with it. You can make all different things. Then we progressed into the larger ones. We just bought a margarita maker. Mm-hmm. That's probably the biggest blender we have, and it's all automatic, and you just put the ingredients in, push the button. And
I'm sure students would
well. Love this one. We don't use, I use blenders, like immersion blenders, when I'm making soups, just to make it smoother and get rid of all the chunks or whatever, if some people like it.
An immersion blender?
It just looks like a stick that you put into the pot, and blends it up by hand, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can, when we make our spaghetti sauce, we do blend some of the tomatoes too, and then you have a creamier sauce.
Could you use that? Would you use a blender at all to make gravy?
Nah, you know what? I leave the gravy.
I'm thinking
up to
about
my
Christmas
wife.
Again.
You know, she makes the gravy in the house.
Not in a blender?
No,
Marianne. No, not in a blender. Okay. So Tim, tell us about your new barbecue and what prompted you getting that. I think there's a little story behind you getting a new barbecue altogether.
Yeah, we had a couple of people over. And I decided to do a nice big pork loin wrapped in bacon and put it on the top rack of the barbecue and leave it there for an hour or two.
Uh-huh.
Well, I put it on really low, left it on the top rack for an hour, and came out and the bacon was getting nice and crisp and it looked really good. So I flipped it over, went back in the house again to make something in the oven. And when I come out, the backyard was filled with smoke. And a friend of mine standing there, and I'm looking at him like, "You didn't open the barbecue." And he goes, "Yeah, there's a lot of smoke." I'm like, I look and everything was on fire. I finally got it off the barbecue, broke the top rack of the barbecue. It was so heavy, and ended up finishing it in the oven. It turned out to be one of the best roasts we've ever had, but we needed a new barbecue. So we went out and bought a big stainless steel barbecue with a huge, heavy-duty top rack so I can put anything I want up on there.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, it's a good investment. It's a gas barbecue, and, you know, I won't run out of gas anymore because it's hooked right up into the gas line.
So. Right, right. About Christmas entertaining made easy. That's your words, not mine. Christmas always sounds like it could be a daunting task. How can this be that we could prepare easily? And especially, I want to look at this in a way that, you know, students may be able to entertain as well, their families. And
We have a couple of things that we do every year. For the last 10 years at work now, we've had a cookie exchange. There's been 12 of us that get together. Everybody makes 12 dozen cookies, all of one kind.
Mm-hmm.
We bring it to the exchange, and then, of course, we exchange cookies. You come home with, you know, 11 more than plus your own, so 12 dozen different sets of cookies. We freeze them in platters of different varieties. We mix them up. So when somebody comes over, grab a tray, bring it out, it's all set. And if you're having dinner, we always have potlucks. I'm going to make the turkey. You bring a salad. Another person will bring, you know, potatoes or whatever. It just so you don't have to incur the entire expense.
Right. So everybody brings a meal. And
yeah,
that's a good one, actually, I think, because especially, I guess, for a student. I mean, they wouldn't be obligated to cook so much and so many dishes. And
you know, and it's great, even if you only have like three or four people over, you know, and everybody split on it and bring what you need. And,
mm-hmm.
and then, like, even for the Thanksgiving dinner we had before everybody went home, we took out baggies, you know, and all the leftovers, we split them up and take them home, and you can freeze them or you can eat them for the next week or two.
Yeah, and I wanted to talk to you about that as well, freezing, and you led right into that. It's great probably to freeze food because it keep a lot longer than just putting something in the fridge and having leftovers for a couple of days maybe.
Yeah, and that's where a crock pot will come in handy for students.
Let's talk about the crock pot.
It's just the easiest way to cook.
Do students know what a crock pot is? Does everybody know what a crock pot is?
I'm sure they do. Yeah, well, I mean, with a slow cooker.
And they're easy to use. They just got to have one knob on them, don't they?
That's it.
Low
there's,
and high?
There's low, high, and there's, like, ours has auto shift. When it's done, it turns itself down.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
So, I mean,
yeah, it stays on?
Yeah. We actually have three crock pots at home. You can make stuffing in it. You can make a roast. You can make pulled pork. And if you were to make a roast, and I mean, I know a roast can get kind of expensive, especially for a student, but if you make your roast, put it on before you go to school, come back, and it's all ready to go, cut it up, and then portion it into 1 and 2 serving portions in freezer bags, throw them in the freezer, and then now you've got meals for a couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And the night before, you throw it in the fridge, thaw it out. When you come home, just reheat it, and then your meal's already made.
And a crock pot, that's something that you would suggest to shop around a little bit?
Oh, yeah.
They can vary in
absolutely.
Price.
Absolutely. And they're very cheap right now, anywhere you go. Crock pot is...
They'll probably go up for the holidays.
Well, they range from, I don't know, $19 to $59 to $159, mm-hmm. you know. We've come across a few that have three crock pots in one.
Oh, wow.
So you can make three different things and serving dishes when you're having a party, mm-hmm. which I haven't
like
bought
yet. A three-pack,
yet.
Basically, yeah. a three-pack.
One of the toys I haven't bought yet. I keep looking at my wife like, Christmas is coming up.
Yeah, well, you got to get it. Well, maybe you get it as a gift.
You never know.
Early, so that you can use it for Christmas.
That's it.
Oh, that's great. I actually have a little crock pot that it's a potpourri crock pot.
Wow. The food will smell just as good.
Are there any other tips that you might have for students as far as holiday meal planning, perhaps, especially for cooking for a small group?
Plan ahead.
Right.
You know, my wife keeps telling me, you know, we should be thinking about what are we making this week for dinner. You know, and I'll think of something. Well, then that day I go to the grocery store, and every time I go to the grocery store, I buy more than what I need.
Mm-hmm.
But if you only go once a week and you plan your meals in advance, it makes it a lot cheaper.
For a student cooking for a small group, how does the shopping fit into that? Because, I mean, they're kind of on a budget, I suppose. And do you always have to use, I'm not getting into what recipe calls for, but I mean brand name type, you know, use Kraftis or use...
I buy everything PC.
Yeah.
You know, like if I can.
It's not gonna alter the...
No.
Yeah.
No. I mean, you're going to use herbs and spices and stuff like that. I mean, so... You're going to, as long as they're fresh, your food's going to taste good.
Mm-hmm. As someone who enjoys cooking, do you eat out often? So, like, do you have an ulterior motive when you go out to eat to check out how something's prepared or those kinds of things? Or
we've done a fair amount of going out for dinner. My wife loves Italian food, and like I said, I don't make Italian food a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when we go out, she'll try something and she'll, here, taste this. Can you make this? And I go, yeah, I think so. And I would go home, like she tried a pasta with white cream sauce and bow tie pasta with salmon.
Mm-hmm.
And I went home and we did the same dish about 2 weeks later. And it came out great. So we experiment when we go out and find different things. That's how we got our taco soup recipe.
Okay.
We went to California and we tried this soup up and down the coast. For 2 weeks, we're trying it everywhere.
Did you just go there for that purpose to try the soups?
Yeah, that's it, you know. But we didn't really know how to make it. We asked people there, and they're saying, well, it's already pre-made. We don't know. So, of course, the ones we were eating were probably full of preservatives and that. But when we came home, we experimented and came up with the salsa and the chicken broth. And we even make our own salsa, so everything's pretty healthy.
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out really well.
Now, you spend a lot of time cooking and good food. And researching for your books, and so what are your thoughts on fast food? You know, it seems when if you're regularly preparing thawed out recipe type meals, fast food might not appeal. Or
I love fast food.
Yeah,
my wife doesn't like it too much, but I love fast food. I could eat at Burger King or Wendy's or any. I could be a spokesman for any of the different fast food places. But we control ourselves, and I mean, I enjoy cooking just as much. So,
mm-hmm.
And it's more fun to have people over than let's go out. You know. Although we do go out to fancier restaurants we just had our anniversary last week.
Oh,
15
congratulations.
Years.
Wow, yeah, nice.
And, of course, we'll go to a fancier restaurant then, you know, for steak or lobster or whatever.
Have you ever tried to, like, mimic any of the fast food type stuff? I mean, they have specific tastes, I would say. Like, I mean, the French fries are different at McDonald's and Burger King and Wendy's, and the burgers are different and the sauces are different.
You know, it's funny, too, because there is... recipes that you can look up online that say this is McDonald's secret sauce or
right yeah,
you know, Kentucky Fried Chicken,
two whole beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, pickles, onions.
Wow. Yeah. I'm impressed.
Remember that old commercial?
Yes. But I haven't really gotten into those yet.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know, maybe I'll try some of those recipes.
This show's definitely made me pretty hungry. I should have brought a hot plate so that Tim could have done some live prep, perhaps. Once again, the current book, Would You Trust a Skinny Cook? Tim, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Oh, thank you.
And you'll find some excellent and quick recipes in his current book. Be sure to keep an eye out for that. And his new book as well. We're not quite sure of the title yet, but you know, we'll find that out soon enough. And Tim's offered tips on how we can easily prepare our holiday dishes on a small budget. So I hope you give some of these things a whirl, especially if you're not normally the one that does the entertaining. And that's it for today's show. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.